Our sermon is based on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an impure spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord. Jesus came to town, and it was time for worship. All the faithful gathered, and Jesus stood up to teach. About 2 minutes in, you could already see a few worshipers slumped over, heads bowed, dozing off. One man thought, "I know where this is going. I've heard this before," and he tuned his mind to more original thoughts. Another younger worshiper just stared blankly at the front wall. These words just weren't for her. They didn't relate to her life situation. As Jesus wrapped it up, one poor guy possessed by an impure spirit, a demon that is, stood up and shrieked at Jesus, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Jesus replied, "You shut your mouth and leave him." But someone leaned over and whispered, "Don't worry, demon. You don't have to listen to him. Besides, I think he's talking to someone else." Who would ever react to Jesus' words like that? That would be ridiculous. We caught a glimpse of how people normally reacted to Jesus' teaching in our gospel reading today, as Jesus preached in the synagogue at Capernaum. It didn't seem like anybody had a hard time paying attention, because they could see the authority behind Jesus' words. His words amazed the people. Jesus' words even expelled a demon. These people had never heard anything like what Jesus was saying. They couldn't believe their ears. Mark tells us that the thing about Jesus' message that was so jaw-dropping is that he taught not as the teachers of the law. Now, the teachers of the law were sharp men. They knew God's law as well as anyone. And they could tell you about all the different interpretations of God's law. But as smart as they were, all they could really do was just teach what their teachers had taught them. Their teachings were at best the opinions of very intelligent men. But when Jesus taught, the people could sense this wasn't just some old human opinion. His teachings were fresh, original. He was saying things no one had ever thought of before. And yet, they'd never heard anything that sounded more like actual truth. After worship, they couldn't stop talking about it. They had witnessed someone with real spiritual authority, and it left them utterly amazed. And who wouldn't have been amazed? Well, as it turns out, there's a lot of people who aren't so amazed by Jesus' teachings. Even in here, it doesn't always happen that Jesus' words make this big splash, and we're just awestruck, and all we can say is, "Wow, what authority." Part of that's because Jesus' words don't have the same brand new shock value they had back in Capernaum Synagogue 30 AD. But there really isn't any good reason why the authority of Jesus' words shouldn't still impress us. There is no good reason for it when we listen to Jesus' words for a bit and then say, "I've already heard this before. I don't see how this relates to my situation today. Maybe I'll just check out and think more interesting thoughts." The words that resound from that lectern, the words that come to us every week from this pulpit, are not the teachings of men. They are not human opinions, which, ironically, we will listen to with great interest if they're from our favorite YouTube channel, podcast, or talk show. But the words we hear in Scripture are not so debatable or so subjective. They are God's words intended for your ears to lead you out of this confusing world to your real home. They are bare truth, something you can actually be sure of, something you don't have to question or fact check. Jesus' teachings are the authoritative explanation of reality, and they are to be held in the highest honor. Jesus, forgive us when we, even as you are speaking to us from Holy Scripture's pages, allow our own very important and very original and intriguing thoughts to bully their way to the front of our minds and wrestle the attention away from you. Someone might honestly wonder, at which points in this service is Jesus speaking? Which words are his and which are not, so that we know when we should really be listening? Well, Jesus' words are honestly just about everything in the worship service. We repeat them and summarize them in our hymns, in our liturgy, and of course, when Jesus speaks, when we read his teaching straight out of the Bible, our worship is saturated with Jesus' authoritative words. And if we listen, they might just amaze us. They certainly made a strong impression on the worshipers in Capernaum. They even made an impression on the non-worshipper in the room, the impure spirit that is the demon. In the presence of such feared and hated authority, Satan's agent could not bear keeping quiet. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Now I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You know, it's a tricky business trying to read the mind of a demon. So it's really hard to know what this demon was getting at. Was he screaming out in panic, actually assuming that the Holy One of God had come to find him and destroy him together with all these sinners? Maybe he was attempting a trick of reverse psychology. If a demon calls someone the Holy One of God, who's going to trust that? One might actually suspect then that the demon and Jesus are on the same side. But whatever it was thinking, the demon clearly did not like being in the same room as Jesus. Jesus didn't like it either. He would not share the pulpit with it, nor would he permit this demon to torment the body and soul of that poor man he was living inside of. "Be quiet. Come out of him," Jesus ordered, and the demon obeyed. Of course it did. Jesus' words carried authority over even the enemy. His words really should have the same authority over the enemy's lies, too. Temptation is a sticky thing, and it has a way of clinging to the human heart. But Jesus really doesn't like sharing space in our hearts with sinful behaviors any more than he likes sharing the synagogue with a demon. You can feel the confrontation, can't you? When Jesus in his word condemns a specific behavior you have done, or when he commands a specific action that you haven't been doing. Read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew chapter 5. Review the Ten Commandments. It's as if Jesus in his teaching is commanding our personal demons, our sin, just as he did in the synagogue. "Be quiet. Come out of my child." It would be the most foolish and dangerous thing to respond to that with, "Shh, don't worry, you don't have to listen to him." Besides, Jesus is probably just talking about someone else. May that never be us. May we never harbor sin when Jesus commands it to leave. Do you know why Jesus' words have so much authority that even his enemy, the demon, obeyed him? Do you know why they have the authority to expel our sin? Have you come to destroy us? The demon asked Jesus. He knew that Jesus had the capability of destroying him and every last miserable soldier in Satan's army. He had the capability to destroy even the power of his captain, Satan himself. And you and I happen to know that, in fact, Jesus did. Bringing God's wrath upon us by tempting us to sin was Satan's one move, and it was a good one. But the cross put an end to it forever. Each time Satan succeeds in tempting us to sin, that sin is erased by the cross. In fact, before it can even happen, Jesus has carried in his body each sin to the cross, and each sin is already punished and killed up there in his bleeding, suffocating, dying, holy body. Your sin is gone. It has no power to separate you from God's love or to rob you of your hope of heaven. Believe this and you are saved. Neither Satan nor any of his demons will ever have power over you. Not so fast, Satan says. You disobeyed Jesus. You expect everything to be all right if you just have a little faith in the cross? Yes, Jesus answers for us. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. What? Satan spits. You think you can actually talk to Jesus about this sin? And after committing it how many times? Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away, Jesus declares. And his words carry the day because they are the real authority. Neither Satan's lies nor accusations nor the voice of our guilty conscience has the authority. That belongs to Jesus' words. You are forgiven is the authoritative explanation of your reality today. And when Jesus speaks, Satan can do no better than the demon. All he can do is scream and leave. That's the authority Jesus' words carry. So when Jesus orders your personal demons to leave, when his words confront the sinful attitudes and behaviors in your life, send them on their way. We don't believe Satan's lies about our sins still being unforgiven. So why would we believe what Satan says about the supposed pleasures and advantages of harboring sin? You don't have to listen to him. Our Savior has authoritatively declared us forgiven and blameless in God's sight because of his sacrifice on the cross. When he casts out our demons, when he commands a certain action or condemns a certain behavior, we say, "All right, sin, you heard him. Leave me. You're not welcome here anymore. You have no power over me." My Savior has spoken. And his word is the only word I trust. That's the authority Jesus' words have over our lives. It was time for worship in Capernaum, and all the faithful had gathered. Jesus stood up, taught, and ordered the demon to leave. The people were amazed, and of course even the demon had to obey. What else could they do in the presence of this authority? In our lives, I don't think it's any different. Jesus' words have no less authority over us. They have the capacity to make our jaws drop. As Jesus declares even us to be God's righteous children and announces that even our sin is erased forever. Finally, when Jesus' words tell the devil to leave, what else can we do? But send the devil on his way. Amen.